Erasure, not inclusion, is the norm for Latinos on screen. That's one of the central findings in a new report out this month from USC Annenberg's Inclusion Initiative. Of the 1,200 highest-grossing movies from 2007 to 2018, researchers found that Latinos were dramatically underrepresented both on screen and behind the camera in Hollywood. And while Latinos make up roughly 18% of the U.S. population, just 4.5% of the speaking characters in the films analyzed were Latinos. The report paints a clearly negative picture of Latino representation in the film industry, but my next two guests say the research actually undersells the lack of opportunity for U.S.-born Latinos in Hollywood. Francis Negron Muntaner is a filmmaker and professor at Columbia University Center for the Study of Ethnicity and Race. Francis, thanks for being back on the show.
Great to be here.
And Vanessa Erazo is the film and television editor for Remezcla. Vanessa, thanks for being back as well.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start with you, Vanessa. How does the report define Latinos?
So it takes the word Latino to mean Latino and Hispanic. So that includes Latinos born in the U.S., Latin American immigrants, Spanish immigrants, and those who live in the U.S. who are of Spanish descent.
So, Francis, a couple issues with that definition, right?
Yes. I mean, I guess the definition... It depends what you want to do with it. Like, what is it that you want to represent with your research? At Columbia, we've produced two reports. We didn't include all those groups within the Latino category. And the main reason for that is that we understood that U.S. Latinos face particular challenges in accessing media and participating in media that someone who is from a privileged class, race, and gender coming from their own countries where they have access to their own national media industry would not. Which is not to say, and I want to underscore, not to say that immigrant directors, writers, or actors don't have challenges in Hollywood. They do. And part of it is because there's a stereotype that all Latinos are the same, including Spaniards, Hispanics, they're all the same. So they might be subject to some of the same stereotypes. However, they come in a very different way.
And a lot of Spaniards, I lived in Spain, do not define themselves as Latinos, period. So we have that conversation as well. Vanessa, over the past 10 years, speaking of the inclusion question here about those from Latin America, there have been three directors from Mexico, Alfonso Cuarón, Alejandro González Iñárritu, and Guillermo del Toro, which a lot of people know these names. They've had enormous success in Hollywood. What about U.S.-born Latino directors in comparison?
In comparison, you can say on that level, there really is nobody that exists at that level. Winning that amount of Oscars, having those amount of films that are part of these huge blockbusters every year, and even just the regard that they're given as being these highly, you know, gifted, talented artists, like this unique gift. We don't really have U.S. Latino directors that are regarded that way in the industry.
We also, one thing that they all have in common is that they're all men, Francis.
Yes.
What do we think? I mean, nothing against, you know, men, yeah. But just curious about, does that have anything to do with their success as well, you think?
Of course, I think gender has something to do, but if you look at the sole woman on the list, you'll also see that she's a Mexican-born and formed director. So yeah, gender definitely plays a role. And I think there's another issue. These directors are also not making U.S. Latino-themed films or telling those stories or casting those actors. So their success is partly through a somewhat entry as a globalized talent. So you are, on the one hand, coming from a different country, access to a different national industry, and also you have been making films for a global market. Before you got to Hollywood, you enter then as an international so-called talent, making films that are, some of which are blockbuster types of films, casting white actors to the world. That is an entirely different trajectory as an artist, as a filmmaker in the industry, that someone, not only that's from here, or might be a woman, or of color, or so forth, but also that wants to tell a different story from a different perspective.
Let's talk a little bit about that, Vanessa, because one of the things that's noted in the USC report is that many of the roles that are played by Latino actors make no reference to the character's, quote, culture or community. What do you think about that?
I think sometimes Latino actors are cast in these roles, and we're not even sure if they're playing Latinos. I think that's very much the case with someone like Oscar Isaac, who he is very open and out there about. He was born in Guatemala, moved very young, and he's Guatemalan and Cuban. But casting directors maybe don't see him looking as a typical, quote-unquote, Latino look, let's say, you know, an actor. So he gets cast in all sorts of roles that we're often questioning, you know, based on who's playing his parents and what culture is represented, you know, in that film. Oftentimes I'm like, is he playing? I don't think he's playing a Latino character. So I think that shows you also that our stories are undervalued, right? Someone like him and other actors can be cast in these films, but they're not necessarily playing Latino characters or centered, like Francis said, on U.S. Latino stories.
And Francis, I want to talk a little about the role that race has in all of this as well. A lot of these directors, a lot of the international directors we're seeing are also white, including those from Spain. What is the resistance here to portraying the diaspora of the Latino racial experience in the United States, you think?
In our work, you know, we looked at micro and macro factors, everything from the way that Hollywood decision makers tend to hire mostly from their own network and don't tend to trust people outside the network. And since networks are racialized, that means that there's not enough other people in that network, to macro issues, which to me, the bottom line is power. I think people try to argue that if Hollywood only knew that they would put more people of color, they would make more money, they would do so. But actually, they know that, because if I know that, they know that. And we've demonstrated, and so have other researchers. So it's not that. I think the bottom line is that diversity offices, diversity policies are there to manage, to say how many can we accommodate without really changing anything? And what would be the fear of that change? Well, think about it for a minute. If the media industry would be encompassing of the diversity of the United States, what would it be like? What stories would it tell? How would it look? Would it look dramatically different? And the power of story is enormous. Is the way that we make sense of the world. So it seems to me that at the end of the day, the resistance is to changing who is in power, how do they reproduce their power, which is partly through resources, but also through the stories that are told that we all consume and make sense of our lives.
Vanessa, are Latinos asking for more diverse films? I mean, we know that they tend to spend a lot of money at the box office. They're big purchasers of tickets. But are they asking for it? Do they want to see more of their own representation in film, particularly U.S.-born Latinos?
I think that there's like a yes and a no to that answer, to be honest. Yeah, Latinos keep buying tickets to movies that don't star Latinos. So there is a big segment of the audience that just wants to see a movie regardless of who's in it. But there is, I think, also a growing segment of Latinos who are born here in the U.S. who want to see movies that look like them, right? And in particular, even like the marginalized groups within the word Latino,
so
right?
We're talking
Afro-Latinos, you know,
yeah.
Indigenous, mm-hmm. LGBT, Latinos with disabilities. A report shows that very few of the, you know, if Latinos are underrepresented, those types of roles and stories are virtually non-existent.
So, Francis, I wanted to get your thoughts, because we're talking about film and U.S.-born Latinos, and right now there is a remake of, Steven Spielberg is doing a remake of West Side Story. Your thoughts on that? Are we going to get past this one film at any point, particularly now that Puerto Ricans are really front and center in the national conversation?
I mean, my feeling is that if you're going to remake West Side Story, you would have to make dramatic changes to the storyline, to the people participating in the creative process. It's a film that's been heavily criticized by generations of Puerto Rican scholars, activists, and just a general audience. It seems to me that it would be better spend these resources on telling new stories from different perspectives. And just opening up the possibility. Like right now, you know, Puerto Rico has undergone enormous pressures under the last decade. There's so many stories to tell.
And yet
we're repeating the same story over and over again with some minor shifts of updating to fit the taste of what people think are the audience today. So in essence, I would say those resources would be either better spent in rethinking the entire story, or just telling other stories. There's so many to pick from and to develop.
Vanessa, in the USC report, it says, and I'm quoting here, despite all the talk about diversity and inclusion in Hollywood and the popular press, these findings represent no change in depictions of the largest ethnic group in America. When we talk about depictions of Latinos in film, particularly, and in television to a larger extent, are we still stuck in the stereotypical roles when we do present Latinos in film?
The report does go through all these characters and all the different stereotypes, and it seems like we're pretty much criminals, immigrants, you know.
They said maids.
There's a lot of unorganized crime, so gangs and cartels. So those are the stories we're really stuck with.
And are we stuck with them because they do well, because they happen to, you know, bring eyeballs, whether it's to Netflix or to, you know, the big screen?
in the case of something like, let's say, Narcos on Netflix, yeah. And also with, if you look at Spanish language television, it's all also a lot about narcos and cartels. Those stories do well. But I think other stories haven't been given the chance to compete, right? Like, what if we had Little Miss Sunshine with Latinos? Like, maybe that could also be a blockbuster, you know? So I think that it's still hard to know what kind of stories do well if we haven't been really given the chance to tell a broad range of stories about Latinos here in the U.S.
Vanessa Erazo is a film and television editor for Remezcla, and Francis Negron Muntaner is a professor at Columbia University's Center for the Study of Ethnicity and Race. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.